Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Amen. I read from verse 1. After this, are you there? Okay. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like as jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And behold, and before the throne there were a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night. I want you to take note of that. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, I need your attention. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Shall we pray? Divine Master, we just thank you for such a privilege to be in your presence. This access we have through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We ask that you will open our eyes that we may see. Anoint our eyes with ourselves. Open our ears that we may hear the word of truth. Open our hearts that we may receive the incorruptible seed of your word, which is able to save our soul. The Bible says your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let the word, the counsel of your word, the light of your word, let it illuminate our ways. Let it shine in our hearts. Open us, O God, that we may receive and that we may run in the way of your commandments. I ask for myself, Lord, that you will anoint my talk, that I will speak, O Lord Almighty. And as I speak, I will do no violence to your word. That the words that come out of my mouth will not be words with enticing words of man's wisdom, but will come in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and the power, so that the faith of the people will not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Almighty God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. For the sake of reference, I have titled this message, The Pleasure of Living for God. I want you to say it after me. The pleasure of living for God. Say it again. The pleasure of living for God. In the world that we live in today, abuse is a commonplace thing. Abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, whether it's child abuse, whether it's drug abuse, abuse is a thing that is cumbersome in the society where we live today. To abuse, actually the word abuse comes from the concatenation of 2 different words. The word abnormal and the word use. When you abuse a substance, when you abuse a process, when you abuse a thing, it simply means that you use it abnormally. It means you use it without an understanding or a clear interpretation of the reason that the original creator of that thing or object created it. When you abuse, for example, a car, it means you will probably try to drive it on a rail or try to drive it as if you were riding a boat in water. When you abuse something, you use it in a way that is not consistent with the purpose for which the creator created that thing. Unfortunately for us, this is not just a problem that occurs outside there in the world. In the church of God, the house of God, the pillar and the ground of truth, abuse is also a common thing. Every day you find believers, even people who are supposed to know better, who are called of God, you will find them in one form of practice of abuse or the other. The most common one that is a common denominator among every one of us, minister and members and everybody, is that sometimes we are all guilty of abusing life itself. Listen to me, the abuse of life is to live life here on earth without understanding why in the first instance you had that life. Let me announce to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you are still here with me and you haven't gone home, that life that we have and that we live today is not something we have because we decided to have it ourselves. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible tells us clearly that there was a session between the Godhead bodily, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And God said, let us make man in our own image. You and I were not part of that meeting. We were not part of the deliberation to create ourselves. We had no input into the decision for us to come into this world and to have life and live. Therefore, with regards to the operation manual of our lives, it is purely something that is the prerogative of the Godhead body. It lies with God to define the reason why we are created. And he said, let us make man in our image that they might have dominion. One translation of the Bible says, let us create man in our image, in our likeness, so that they will operate like us. How many of us operate like God? In the way we talk, in the way we live, in the way we behave, in the way we handle our relationship. How many of us can say, when God created me and ordained me to live and operate like him, that my life can be appraised and the outcome will be that I am living a life that is consistent with the purpose for which God created me. Let us create man in our own image. Purpose is the reason behind the creation of something. Listen to that verse of scripture we read. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. I love it so much. Some of us know that in terms of it being a song. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. That's as far as many of us know it. We sing it. We dance to it. We do all kinds of spiritual gymnastics. But many of us do not really understand that within that one verse of scripture lies some deep-seated truth, which if unlocked, if understood, if imbibed, will help us to live a life that God has designed us to live. It will enable you and I to stop abusing the life that God has given us. Hallelujah. It says, listen. It says, thou, O Lord, art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. And it goes on, it says, for thou, O God, has created all things. And he says, for thy pleasure we are. Listen to me. There is none of us in this place today who exists for himself. You and I exist purely for the pleasure of God. You may not like it. It may not sound good. It may contradict the theology that you are conversant with or that you have come to accept. But listen to me. This is the final authority. It's in control. I mean, you cannot argue with it. It's innegotiable. It says, for thy pleasure, we are and were created. It's not an afterthought. God did not create you and say, okay, can you please me? Oh, no. It says, for his pleasure, you were created. Which means that before you were created, God decided that he needed something to please him. And then he created you. You are not an accident. The demand of heaven that you live for God is not an afterthought. It is the original intention. It is the reason why you exist here. It is your only reason for being alive today, that you may please the Almighty God. What does the word? There are three words I'd like to introduce to you. The word please, the word pleasure, and the word pleasant. Those three words have a common root. To please God means to gratify Him. It means to gratify. It means to fulfill. It means to satisfy. To please God means to fill up the desire, a vacancy that exists in the desire of God. To please God means to be enjoyable to God. Let me ask you a question. Does God enjoy you?
Yeah.
Think about it. Do you gratify God? Is God satisfied by you? To please God means to delight the Almighty God. It says, for thy pleasure we are. In other words, that's why we exist, for His pleasure. I don't care if this is the primary reason. Listen, in Genesis chapter 1, read the Bible very well. You see, if you want to understand, because sometimes sin is a smoke screen. You know, the devil, his activity and sin is a smoke screen that blurs the picture of purpose and does not allow us to understand why, in the first instance, we exist. Many of the times, if I really want to understand what the will of God for man is, I go back to those first two or three books of Genesis before the devil came into the picture, before sin was introduced. And I ask myself, if the devil did not happen, if man did not fall, what, if I exist today, would I be doing? What would I be doing? If there was no sin, if I was not in a fallen state, and I realized that from the beginning, everything God created, there was a purpose for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, he said there is a time, a season, and a purpose for everything under the heavens. When God created the birds of the earth, the fishes of the sea, He told them after He created them, He says, go and be fruitful. It wasn't only man He spoke to. Every creature of God exists for the pleasure of God, whether they are animate or inanimate objects. Nothing created itself or exists for itself. We exist to pleasure God. We exist for Him to enjoy us. We exist to gratify the Almighty God. We exist to fill up the desire of the Almighty God. And so, He created man for His own pleasure. Listen to me. It's important for you and I that we understand this very much. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. When the Bible says we should be fruitful in every good work, it's not an afterthought. It's not suddenly, because it's not an agenda of the redeemed Christian Church of God. It's not an agenda of the pastors at Eleke. No, it's a divine agenda that was established before creation. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He's not trying to make life difficult for us. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen, in verse 5, it says, He has predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. There is something called the good pleasure of God's will. And every child of God, every creature of God, everything that belongs to God, everything that exists because God ordained it to exist, must understand that we live to gratify the Almighty God. In Psalm 149 verse 4, it says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will build gratify the meek with salvation. God is gratified by his creation. Do not deny God the pleasure that he created you to feel for himself. Isaiah chapter 43. Let's open there and see a couple of good readings. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Are you there? Verse 1. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Listen to that. O Jacob, and listen, he and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, you are mine. You see, there are certain things that God cannot tolerate. And most importantly, is access to his creation. What God created, he will not share with anyone. The glory of his creation is purely and absolutely his own. Even the creator, in only some senses, is permitted to pleasure in that. And I'm coming to that. The pleasure of living for God. Look at verse 7, verse 6 to 7. He says, I will say to the north. This is the attitude of God. He says, you are my own. I'm not going to share you with anyone. Whatever is holding you back from pleasing me, whether it is the knot, whether it's unemployment, whether it is poverty, whether it is sin, that is why God was willing to send his only begotten son on a suicide mission to blow the devil away. Because as far as he was concerned, he was not going to lose his creation. He was willing. That was how important the creation of God is to him. He says, no. I will have my creation back. Yes, they have strayed away for a while, but I'm going to have them back again. Listen to verse 6. He says, I will say to the north. Maybe there is a north, a place called the north in your life, that is holding you back from gratifying God. That is holding you back from pleasuring the Almighty God. That is holding you back from being an enjoyable child to the Almighty God. He says, I will talk to that north. He says, I will deal with that north. The Bible says Jesus Christ took away everything that stood against us and he nailed it to the cross. Having spoiled principality and power, he made the puppetry of them triumphing over them in it. That's the attitude of God towards anyone and anything that will mess around with his creation. He said, I will say to the north, give up. Give up today. God is saying to some things in your life, give up my creation. He's saying to bad habits, give up my creation. He's saying to poverty, give up my creation. He's saying to spirit of fear, release and let him go. God wants to enjoy his creation. He says, I will say to the north, give up. And I will say to the south, keep not back. Stop holding him back. Let them go forward. He says, keep not back. Bring my sons from wherever you have taken them captivity. Bring them. It says, bring them from afar. Some of us have wandered away. Not to a land flowing with milk and honey, but a land of bondage, like the Israelites. A land where we are in captivity. Amen. We have strayed away. And now we are in bondage, like the prodigal son. In our father's house where there was so much to enjoy and to eat and to live on, we strayed away. We took control of our own life, forgetting that we were created by his pleasure and that there is something called the operational manual, which is the manufacturer's blueprint and instruction on how to operate the life you have been given a lease of, not ownership, lease. Two different things. Lease. The Bible tells us that we're stewards. First Peter, I believe, 4, about verse 10, he says we're stewards of God's manifold graces. Not owners, stewards. He says, give up. You went far away. He's saying to those, he said, these people belong to me. I know someone, my father in the Lord, he will tell you, he said, you can't steal anything from me. Wherever you go, I will come after you. And it's like that. He will pursue you and overtake you And he will not only recover what you took, he will recover even you and the ones that you took from other people. He will recover. When he pursues you, he overtakes you. When God says, give me, that's why, listen, do you realize that when God goes after his creation and he recovers them with more? Do you see what happened to the children of Israel? When they were leaving Egypt, what the Bible said, they spoiled the Egyptians. After Christ came and died and redeemed you and myself from the pits of hell, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, and when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts. Say, you take. That's why the Bible says he spoiled principalities. Do you know what that means? That means you plunder the enemy's accounts. You plunder his storehouse. The earth is the Lord's. Are you with me? And the fullness thereof. That's what the Bible says. Everything that fills the earth belongs to God and the earth. Hook, line, sinker, fisherman, boots, and boats. Everything belongs to God. From afar. He says, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Daughters, are you in the house? You may have strayed away and gone far away from home, but God is calling you back. He's saying to whatever is holding you back and down, he says, give up my daughters. Let them come back. Listen to me. He says, even everyone that is called by my name. He says, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Give it up. He said, let them come back to me. Isaiah 43:21 there. Go to verse 21. He said, these people, ever say, I belong to God. Listen to me. He says, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praises. We are not the property of anybody else. Listen to me. I know we all have to walk. We live in a world where there are rules, there are constitutions, and we have to be subject to these things. But you are not the property of any organization. You don't belong to a system. You don't belong to a club. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the Almighty Himself, Jehovah Shekinu, Jehovah Makadishkim, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. Therefore, sickness shall not have dominion over you. Poverty shall not have dominion over you. Because you belong to Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha says to poverty, give up my son. Give up my daughter. I created them for my pleasure. He says, so that they may live like me and operate like me. God is not a God of poverty. He's a God of abundance. And he's speaking to everything that's held you down in your life. Say, Lift them, O Lord. Give them. Let them come back. Me. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created for him and by him and for him. James 1:18, he says, of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creation. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we may show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen to me. Are you a child whose life gratifies God? Is God pleased by your life? What is holding you back from pleasing God? Listen to me. In Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 20, quickly, I want you to see this. 31 verse 20. God asks an interesting question. On face value, you will miss the point. So you have to sit with it a bit. Listen. Jeremiah 31 verse 20. He says, is Ephraim my son? Is Ephraim my son? Spiritually speaking, God exercises that degree of jealousy over those who belong to him. That's why you must belong to him.
Some of us will sympathize with our neighbors when their houses get robbed. But you do not pursue the robber with the same tenacity as if it was in your own face, in your own house. He says they belong to me. Listen to me. He says, is Ephraim my dear son? Part two of the question, is Ephraim a pleasant child? It's not enough to say I am a son of God. What kind of son are you? God told Jesus Christ, he says, this is my beloved son. He didn't stop there. He says, in whom I am well pleased. So why are we just satisfied as being called the sons of God? God is not going to stop there. Two questions. Are you his son? Yes, that's the beginning. You start from somewhere. But after some time, God is asking the question, what kind of son are you anyway? Are you a pleasant son? Are you a son in whom God is gratified? Are you a son that satisfies God? Or a son that bringeth shame to his father? What kind of a son are you? Are you a son that exalts his father? A son that honors his father? Are you an obedient son? Are you a son in whom God can look at and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased? Those of you who have children, I remember once, I think I was traveling from States or somewhere, and I had people sitting next to me, and these people were talking about, you know, how one of them was saying something about his son. You know, he's just graduated from one of the Ivy League universities, and how he's going to buy him a very expensive sport car. He was speaking about his son with delight. His son had pleasured him. His son had made him proud as a father. His son had gratified him. How many of you, if you have a son who is 30 years old with beard all around his face, at the age of 30, is still playing with sand in the gutter? When your friend comes to visit you, how many of you will be happy to take him there and say, this is my beloved 30-year-old son with goatee in the gutter playing castle. I am well pleased in him. How many of you? Listen to me. When the devil came, appeared before God in the book of Job, God was so pleased with Job. He asked, do you know God started that thing? He said, have you even considered my... He could not wait to bring Job, to display him. You know, sometimes you buy something new in your house, and people come and you just put it somewhere where everybody can see it. You know, no one lights a candle and hide it. All those flashy cars you buy, you didn't buy it because of the utility. You want to show off. We know. So you buy it and you bring it and hope that nobody else packs so that the thing can be very conspicuous and gundukos in everybody's face. Are you with me? This is my beloved. God wants to make a showcase of you. Can God be comfortable enough to say, before everyone who cares to listen, that this is my beloved son, I am gratified by him. Ugh. And he said when Jesus was transfigured, you know what? He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And do you know what he said? He said, hear him. Ah! You don't understand what happened there. Do you know what God was saying? He said, I trust this boy so much. I believe in him so much. I can vouch for him so much that even if I'm not talking, when he speaks, take it as being from me. God delegated authority to him. He says, hear him. He says, he can speak. I know people who are executives of big organizations who have walked through the ladder and risen so high. The Lord has blessed them. But when it comes to the point in their life where they should be retiring and, you know, handing over to their son, he's nowhere to be found. recalcitrant child. You cannot delegate and hand over that thing to him. Why? Because he is just not a son that is prepared. He's not a son that will carry on with the baton of progress in the organization. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Can God say that about you? Can God say to people, not that God will be away, but listen to him. When he talks, it will be like me talking. I allow him and permit him. He's authorized to speak on my behalf. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Is Ephraim a son? I want you to ask your neighbor, are you a son of God? That's not enough. Ask them, what kind of child are you? Be explicit. Say, are you a pleasant child? Listen, does God enjoy you? God is asking here whether you are a delightsome and pleasurable child. Are you living according to God's will and plan, or are you just doing things on your own? Can you imagine we are created for his pleasure and we go on and do our own thing? Let me be awkward again. Can you imagine buying a radio, paying for it with your own money, and the radio has a mind of its own? 12 a.m., when you are going to bed, then it decides to come on and put the volume of itself to the loudest and start disturbing everybody, and you become a nuisance in the environment. When you want to sleep, it has a mind. You say, shut up. Say, no. And change the channel to one Apala channel and just bled the whole thing. Can you imagine? And then when you want to listen to it, you knock the thing, you kick it, you curse, you pray, you bind, you lose, you release and you contain and everything, and nothing happens. Will you be satisfied? Will you not throw it away? Will you not get rid of that kind of a thing? Would you take pleasure in a thing like that? It's more because you purchased it. You did it for yourself. You didn't buy the thing so that it would be there and entertain itself. You bought it to pleasure your own self. We need to understand the purpose why we live. For thy pleasure we are and were created. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. It says Jesus was a son in whom God was well pleased. When God is well pleased with you, not only will he listen to you, he will tell others. You will become a person of authority. That is how the words of your mouth will not fall to the ground. You will say a thing and it will come to pass. Because God knows you and he backs you up. He trusts that whatever the way you will use the words will be the way he will use it. Because you understand purpose. Because you know that you live for God. He trusts that if he gives you the authority to say to one, go and come, and to other, come and go, he trusts that you will not use it to gratify yourself. You will not use it in a selfish way. You will use it in a way that glorifies him, because you understand the purpose for which God has given you. You understand that you exist to please the Almighty God. That's why people say things and their words fall to the ground. Not because God's principles have changed, but because God cannot trust them with the power to back up the word they say. Because they are not people in whom God is well pleased. You remember those 7 sons of Sceva that tried to cast out demons in the book of Acts? The demons say, Jesus I know, Paul I have heard of. Who are you? Is it not the same God? Is it not the same God? Why does it work for A, B, but it doesn't work for C? Those of you who are mathematicians know that if the theory works for A, B, and C, then it should work for A and B, then it should work for C. If it doesn't work for C, something's wrong with C. Are you in the house or have you gone home? Created for his pleasure. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I'll continue it. Less than halfway through, and I wouldn't want to go into that because we're running out of time. Listen to me. I might just jump on the one, just give you something in case you cannot wait for the second service. Are you a son in whom God is well pleased? Let me ask you a question. If God were to appear here today, just appear and say, game over, and the final whistle blows now, how many of you in your heart of hearts, if God was to stand at the door there waiting for people to fight, how many of you will run straight to the front and not try to go to the back to buy more time so that you can readjust yourself before you appear before him? We are consistently before his face. The Bible says all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Where I was going with this message today was to show you how you as a child of God can actually find pleasure here on earth. And where I was taking this message is to show you how God has so systematically and divinely locked your own pleasure in his own pleasure. So it's like a two-case package. The outer one is God's. You please him and then you have access into your own pleasure. I'm not implied by this message that God is not interested in your pleasure. The Bible says he taketh pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. There is no negotiation about that. God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor set their mind in uncertain riches, but in God who giveth us richly. Look at that note of luxury. Richly, all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy. But you need to understand that in order for you to be able to tap into that pleasure you desire, you must please God first. First things first. You exist for his pleasure. I notice that you're saying a lot about honor, and I'll be saying a lot about that, the glory, honor, and power to the Almighty. I'll be saying a lot about that in the second service. But let me say this about honor. Do you know that the testimony of the children of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2 was that they were like sons of Belial? Sons of Belial. That means everything evil. They were stupid. They were unreliable. They were liars. They were cheats. 419, 914, everything. You know what 419 is? That's when you deceive other people. But 914 is when you deceive other people to the point that you come back and you don't know, but you are deceiving your own self. They were sons of Belial. Do you know what? They dishonored God. And you know what he said? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. He says, those that honor me, will I honor. Those who despise me, I will lightly esteem them. When God honors a man, he makes that person a trophy of his grace. People, even the heathen who do not believe in God, will see the works of God in their life and say, their Lord has done great things for them. That is how God, he says, he taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. When we live for God's pleasure, nothing can give us easier access to pleasure in life than that. Was it not after Jesus Christ pleased God by obeying God and laying down his life that God lifted him up? And according to Psalm 16 verse 11, God raised him to sit at his right hand, where the Bible says, is pleasure forevermore. The place of everlasting pleasure is a place you can only get to by pleasing God first. It's not that one is important, one is relevant or not the other. This whole message has been about prioritizing. Get your priorities in order. God first. And you see, this is the summary of what the scripture meant when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all things, all other things that you're looking for will be added unto you. I want to believe that the God of 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills would not need you to work so hard before he can bless you. But he does not look for sacrifice. The Bible says what? Sacrifice thou desired not. Obedience. Just obey him. I created you for my pleasure. Please me and I will please you. Those of you who walk in the secular world, you know that's the language. If your leadership and your bosses are not happy with you, you are in trouble. No matter what else you do. The Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. You bring the sacrifice to God and thinking to receive blessing from him and he's annoyed. God must accept you first. Hallelujah. He is good. Amen. I hope you've been blessed. Amen. God bless you. Bow your heads. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Honor, power, dominion, glory. I just want to ask you this morning to think about your life. Just briefly think about your life. You need to remind yourself that you belong to God. You didn't self-create. You were created by God. What is it in your life that holds you back from gratifying God? Which is the purpose for which God created you? For his pleasure. Are you a child of God? It must begin there. Are you a child of God? Are you a pleasant child? You must settle in your heart this morning that my life in its entirety, my spiritual life, my relationships, my finances, everything will be subject to the pleasure of God. You don't exist for yourself. You don't exist to gratify yourself. You exist to gratify God. He says, if you honor me that way, I will honor you too. If you please God, he will please you. I want to ask you in a very solemn state of mind to just, between you and God, just say, Lord, unto you I surrender. I have run away. I have been taken over by so many things. I have given my life to so many other uses apart from what you ordained me to use it for. But today, I am saying, Lord, I am giving you back the honor, the glory, and the power in my life. I'm saying, be gratified, Father, in my life. I dare you to say that and see if heaven will not stand up on your behalf. I dare you. God is not a man that he should lie. It says, if you honor me, I will honor you. Can I ask you please to rise up just for a few minutes on your feet? Just rise up. Still in that solemn state of worship. Just rise up. Talk to God. Talk to God. This is between you and your maker now. Just between you and God. Every man for us. Every man for himself, God for us all. Between you and your maker now. Talk to God. He hears you. He says, them that honor me, will I honor. Tell him, God, I'm coming back. I'm giving everything back to you. I am putting it at your disposal. You are the owner. I am only a caretaker. I'm a caretaker. Have your way. The Bible says when we pray, we should say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth. It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Jesus never taught us to be self-centered. He always tried to draw attention to the Father.
When the music shut for a while.
Can I have the praise for peace?
Longing just to bring something that's a word. To touch your heart.
Up your hands and just worship Him. Just give Him the glory in your life. We just take that song of worship as we do it. You can sing along. You can pray. Whatever area you feel that you have not been a pleasant child to God, as He talks to you by His Spirit, just reconnect with Him in that area. And you will see His hand upon you. Amen. Just lift up your hands.
Oh, don't you say
you're all I want?
I want you to repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you have done. I want you to say it with passion. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you have done. You are the Lord my maker. I avouch you my maker. The Lord my creator. I confess today, I declare today, from today I make a commitment, I make a declaration that you created me for your pleasure, and from this day forth, I will live for your pleasure. My life, my soul, my spirit, my body, my finances, my family, my relationships, every sphere of my life will spring out, will shout out, will sing in praise, in honor, and in adoration, in power to your holy name, because I exist to please you. Lord, be gratified in me. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you. Just before that, let me. I want you to place your right hand over your heart. Jesus. I have done what God has asked me to do. All I'm just going to do now is just to ask God to honor His word. If I have spoken the word of God to you, the true word of God, like Elijah said when he offered the sacrifice and called for the fire of God to come down, and said, Lord, let it be known that by your word I have done these things, then let the fire of the Almighty come from heaven and break everything that has held you back from living for God. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people, the holy congregation of your saints, whom you have redeemed with your blood from the hand of the enemy. Thank you, because you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Forever your word is settled in heaven. The Bible says you watch over your word to perform it. Your counsel that you may fulfill it. Your people have heard today how you are a God who taketh pleasure in your people. A God who created all things for your own pleasure. And before you this day, they have stood up. And we all with one accord in agreement have declared that unto you and to you alone will we live. In our family, in our homes, in our finance and our business, we have declared it today, Lord, be enthroned. Therefore, I am asking, Father, that in honor of your word, in the name of Jesus, let the bonds of lack, the bonds of sickness, the bond of poverty, the bond of failure, the bond of fear and every evil thing that has held your people back, in the name of Jesus,
let go. I command the north pole, the south pole, the east, from every cardinal point, every child of God in this place who has been held back, be released in the name of Jesus. I declare this the season of Jubilee. I declare this the year of their liberty. I command you in the name of Jesus, be set free now. Let go. Let go. Be released into your destiny. The hand of the Lord will be upon you. In your going in and in your coming out, everything you lay your hands on to do will prosper. Your seed will grow, will become a tree, and you will be fruitful and replenished. You are blessed, and you will be a blessing. Everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, the favor of God will precede you. Doors will open for you, and no man will be able to shut it. The blessing of the Lord will overtake you. You will live and you will not die, because you live for God. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and just worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, He's good. He's good. This is a missions month, and we need to take the missions offering. Can I quickly, while you're standing, if you can just grab your Bibles, open with me to the book of Malachi, just very quickly. Very quickly, I need to show you something.